Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids, some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton.
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant.
That's a G.
Yo, and George.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah! On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
We're not playing the highlights. We're not doing it.
No highlights. You know what happened. It was bad.
You don't want to know what happened. Okay? Today is the greatest day of my life, of Joe's life, of Sean's life, of your life. We manifested that way. And the big news today for your Houston Astros, who are struggling offensively, is that they are bringing up a minor league player who has barely played at the AAA level in an attempt to give themselves a shot in the arm. I doubt it amounts to much. I hope I am very, very wrong. It does, as Joe said, reek a little bit of desperation.
Yeah, I just feel like it's try anything at this point.
But
and hope and pray it's for the best.
It's better to try anything than to try nothing.
Yes, because
trying nothing is the definition of insanity, correct? You're doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. And it feels like at the very least, now that the Astros are at least trying to show us that Jim Crane and Jeff Bagwell are behind the scenes as opposed to the ones making the decisions. Why else would they move on from Rafael Montero and Jose Abreu in the same year? It does feel like, at least from that perspective, they are trying new things as opposed to just saying it's going to work itself out. But being in a division race where you're now a game and a half back of Seattle definitely forces your hand a little bit.
Yeah, and you can try different things. Like, I mean, if you want to take Singleton totally out of the lineup and have him play first base, like, go for it. I mean, you can. He's played a bunch of different positions, so I'm curious to see how they'll use him, DeZenzo.
Yeah,
but I also would expect him to play pretty quickly, like Leon, like he didn't play right away, but then he's been playing a good chunk since he finally got into the lineup. I think they're going to do the same thing. Like, once this kid's in the lineup, he might just be there and just try to get this thing moving and grooving until Tucker can one day get back.
Moving and grooving. Oh, saucy, Joe. So the offense for the Astros, it's been... and last night, you only had an Alex Bregman home run for the first, six innings? Seventh inning, you have runners on second and third, one out. You don't score. Eighth inning, you have the bases loaded with one out. You get one run on an infield single. Tenth inning, you have the bases loaded, one out, and you get one run on a hit by pitch. There was a moment this year, the stretch where they went 17-4, where they hit .312 with runners in scoring position and averaged 6.4 runs a game. But for the most part, the offense, while it gets hits, does not hit for power in the same way it did last year. Whether that's due to Yordan Alvarez or the absence of Kyle Tucker, we will leave it up to you. All we know is that this offense is potent, and yet it does not score runs. And, Joe, it has us wondering what is worse than the Houston Astros offense right now.
Yeah.
Definitely the White Sox.
The White Sox. They've lost 21 straight games.
That's hard to do.
There's 60, like, two games below 500. Oakland A's attendance.
Yeah.
Is worse than the Astros offense.
It is?
I don't know how bad it is, but maybe it's because they were playing the White Sox last night. I saw pictures of it and 200 people, 300 people, it looked like at the game.
Probably as many seagulls. Mm. In and out of the ballpark over the course of that 2.5 hour plus affair. All so right. You got that. Season finale, House of the Dragons.
Yeah, I put it up there. I think it's worse than the Astros offense.
I thought something was going to happen.
It just nothing happened. Like, it was a good episode.
Was it a good episode?
I thought the storytelling was good, but it just left me so disappointed.
The thing about Game of Thrones as a show, and I'm going to try to do this without giving any spoilers, because I imagine there are some people listening, and sorry if I'm going to paint the way that you watch it when you eventually get the time to watch it, but the thing about Game of Thrones that was so great was that unpredictable deaths happened a lot. And if you're not going to give me unpredictable deaths, then give me unpredictable moves and political intrigue that at least keeps me guessing. And I don't think we saw any of that this past season. The move that would have shocked people, and I guess they're going off of source material, so there's only so much they can do, but say a husband rebels against his queen wife, mm-hmm. or a brother actually kills another brother. That is more than we saw over the course of an 8-episode season. That you would think that if it's going to be 8 episodes instead of 10 episodes, that there would be more things actually happening.
Mm-hmm.
And instead, I feel a lot the same way where watching a Marvel movie, I know that the hero, will he get it done? I don't know. It feels like everything is heading on a path towards I know what the end result's going to be.
Yeah. I also just put all of like 2024 TV hype.
Ooh,
on this, like the three main shows have all disappointed.
The three shows we like.
The Boys. I thought The Bear was kind of a bummer.
Haven't seen The Bear yet. I got rid of my Hulu, but The Boys, I thought, actually landed.
Oh, you did?
I thought the last episode was good. Okay. I thought the build-up to it was a little bit plodding.
Okay, so the Astros offense is definitely worse than The Boys.
Yeah.
Things
that are worse than the Astros offense right now, 713-780-3776. The stock market.
Good point. It crashed. I don't know why, but it crashed.
I saw something that, like,
something Japan, with Japan, yeah,
like, raised, like, some tax by, like, 0.5%,
mm-hmm.
and then everything crumbled.
Thanks, Japan.
I saw Bitcoin also crash, so Bitcoin also worse than the Astros.
Yeah.
Things are worse than the Astros. My understanding of cryptocurrency. Don't get it. No clue.
I think the blockchain.
This show's understanding of crypto.
Like, I can't do basic math. Like, you're going to try to explain Bitcoin to me? Nope. No chance.
No thanks.
Yeah. Hard pass. Don't need it. Fake money.
The blockchain.
Yep.
What are those things that people used to buy? It's ape.
NFTs.
Oh, yeah.
Non-fungible tokens.
Remember when people like bought highlights?
Yeah.
Remember when people bought Beanie Babies?
I bought Beanie Babies.
I had a football league with them because I didn't have video games growing up.
Say that again?
I used to play football with the Beanie Babies that I had.
You had put them in positions?
Yeah, I had rosters, had a little mini football, had team logos,
key
acquisitions during the offseason.
Oh, there's free agency
Beanie Baby league? It was like basically playing. It was what I did because I didn't have Madden.
Okay.
So I did my own version
of it. Did the Beanie Babies represent NFL players, or were they representing their Beanie Babies?
They all had their own backstory.
Okay, so there wasn't like...
There were favorite teams.
This is the running back who's Terrell Davis.
The teams that were the best, there was the Florida Gators, and there was the Tennessee Titans. And they were professional teams that I created. Yeah, I had a brief phase where I liked the Titans. I hate to admit that, but I did.
Same.
Steve McNair.
There was Steve McNair and Eddie George specifically.
He had my last name, so I thought it was so cool. I had the jersey and everything. The new kickoff rule. I know it's only one preseason game, but I think that's worse than the Astros offense.
It's like 60-something percent of a preseason game.
Hey, we've only seen one game of it.
But right now...
Right now, it's not looking like it's going to be all that different. I agree with you there. From the 8-3-2, August in Houston. Worse than the Astros offense right now. Yeah, we got a heat dome. It's going to be hundo the next couple of days.
Yeah.
Better than a derecho or hurricane.
Yes.
Also, worse than the Astros offense. The power of center point energy. You see that CEO? That weasel? He was trying to basically raise the prices, raise the rates, and everyone said, nah, you can't do that, so they backtracked. They'll do it again in 6 months, don't worry. But hey, for now, they don't have much power. That's nice.
It's true.
They didn't get what they wanted immediately.
Yeah. From the text line, Titus Howard. Oh, hey, that's not nice. No. Titus Howard's hurt.
No, that's ugly.
He got carted off the practice field today.
He walked to the cart and got carted off the
field. And then walked off the cart.
Oh, and walked off the cart. I missed that part.
I'm a little lost.
I think what happened is that he walked to the cart and then got a ride and then walked off.
He at least walked to the blue tent at minimum and then got a ride from the blue tent.
Okay.
We're in the ballpark.
This is not Jake Odorizzi levels.
No, that wasn't Jake's choice either. I feel bad for Jake. He gets dumped on a lot for that. It's not his fault.
It was stupid. Such Red a Sox. Funny. It was a funny visual though.
and
it was a high ankle sprain.
Stretcher him off. For
actually, I don't even think it was a high ankle sprain. I think he missed like two starts.
Yeah, it wasn't much.
From the 281, Paul's sex life worse.
Only you can verify that.
Yeah.
So that's my response to that.
You scorn more than the Astros lately, am I right?
You could argue that, yes. You could argue that.
There we go.
But with who is the question?
Well.
Is it with me or is it with somebody else? See, that's the question.
Like trying to comp this like Justin Verlander?
Could be scoring with a little lefty-righty area.
Yeah. Oh, I got you.
I'm just saying. Yeah. I'm not telling.
You're looking at options within the organization is what you're saying?
You're calling up a minor leaguer?
Careful.
Just trying to spice things up.
Going to Sugarland for some talent.
Victor Hernandez comments on our YouTube at ESPN Houston. Ryan Presley, worse than the offense.
I get. Can I say Caleb Ferguson?
Yes. Caleb Ferguson, yes.
More like Turd Ferguson.
Got him.
We should start calling him that now.
YouTube Keith says the NCAA trying to handle the NIL rules and under duties. Yeah, I can't believe the NCAA is still an institution at this point. I mean, does anyone acknowledge its existence?
Not in college football.
No.
Because the Michigan thing, they can't ban them from the college football playoff, for the record.
No, they can just ban them from the postseason.
Yeah.
But not the playoff.
But yeah.
They can ban them from bowls in a championship game. A conference championship game.
Yeah. And even that, I think the Big Ten would have to do that. So yeah, the NCAA is always worse than whatever's going on with the Astros, for sure. Yeah,
just in general, the NCAA.
When in doubt, yeah.
Yeah, NCAA is the worst.
NCAA and Centerpoint are really neck and neck for incompetence. I guess Centerpoint literally still is in charge of energy.
Yeah, but we're kind of stuck with them.
Yeah.
A texter says Pitbull Stadium.
Disagree.
I don't know. I mean, that was a bargain for Pitbull.
Did you see the price?
$1.2 million
for 5 years? That's nothing.
That's not bad.
Like, John Granato could probably get the name rights to U of H. That's what it costs. Granato Stadium?
I've been to that stadium multiple times, by the way.
FIU one?
Pitbull Stadium?
Yeah, our women's soccer team at our high school was always the best team that we had at our school, and they would regularly go play this team of, like, behemoth Amazons, and they would lose to them in the final in that game. So we went down there twice, only to see them lose to these, like, ogre women. No offense, they're big. They're all, like, 6'3". It's like, what is going on? What is happening? Go Chargers.
No offense to those girls.
Yes,
that
girls.
That are now women.
Girl, I mean, they're very large.
Oh, wait, what are you?
I know what's worse than the Astros offense.
What's that?
Paul knowing what's offensive to women or not.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Paul versus...
The word broad.
I wasn't going to make the word say put, it.
The word dame, the word bird.
Paul's 1920s vernacular.
Yeah, I was going to give you an out to say you, like, learn from your mistakes and not say them again, and then
Well, he was giving examples. Oh, okay. although he did just, he was 30 seconds away from calling those girls ogres, so.
No, I did call them ogres. No,
that's what I'm saying. You're 30 seconds removed from calling them ogres.
Don't go after Taylor. Come on. Our best player. Come on.
Ridiculous. I didn't say a word about Taylor.
No. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about Heritage Christian and their ogres. Oh. We're going after Taylor, the belle of our school, the best athlete at our school. Come on. Outrageous. All right, it's Galan and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Paul, your ADD's all over the place today. Yeah, I know. The Ritalin, worse than the Astros offense right now. I don't think they give that out anymore. The Adderall?
I don't think they do either.
There's an Adderall shortage, so I was wondering if they went back to Ritalin.
There's an Adderall shortage?
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know that.
Big time. Big time. No, I wouldn't know. I'd never take Adderall in my life.
Never?
Never.
Okay. Never, ever, ever.
I don't believe him.
I think you should believe everything.
It's Galan and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. What's worse than the Astros offense right now?
The text line says the wheelhouse. Goodbye.
Whoa.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Galant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
2-2. He's hit high in the air. That's carrying out to left. That's in Strombeck. He's at the wall. He climbs it, but it is gone. A solo towering moonshot to left field for Zach DiZinzo. His fourth home run in 9 games. At AAA, and the Space Cowboys have a 5-2 lead as the number 4 prospect in the Astros organization continues to conquer AAA.
Hell yeah.
Yeah!
That's the guy the Houston Astros called up this afternoon to give their very, very, very sluggish offense a jolt. Tonight on the Hill, the Astros are hoping that they will be able to get what they got out of Hunter Brown last night. Honestly, Brown. It's a shame that they lose last night because you forget that Hunter Brown finally had a good outing against the Texas Rangers. Instead, ultimately, thanks to Ryan Presley blowing it in the 8th. I get it. It wasn't his worst outing. He's just not the same Ryan Presley anymore. And then I'll get his name eventually, but Colby Parkinson. What's his name?
Caleb Ferguson.
Caleb Ferguson, my bad. Colby Parkinson, tight end for the Seattle Seahawks. Not too long ago, CJ Ferguson.
Caleb
Ferguson. Listen, he's got to earn his meticulous sunrise strike.
I think we just stick with Turd.
Whoa.
He has to earn his name.
Yeah,
That's not
nice. He gets his last name.
That's not nice. I'm just going to keep on forgetting his name because I don't feel like I should have to remember that name. Zach DiZinzo, I will remember that. But
DiZinzo.
After Ferguson blew it last night, the Astros will send Framber Valdez to the Hill tonight against a guy who, I guess, hasn't made a start in a really long time, Tyler Mahl, Joe George.
Yeah, he's coming off Tommy John, so he hasn't pitched in 15 months.
Okay.
So that just means you're like, no hitter for the against the Astros.
Well, I don't know. I mean, didn't Max Scherzer make his first start after coming back from injury against the Astros, and they basically had batting practice against them?
I think they got to him early, and then he was like dominant the next couple innings. But okay. Yeah, you should be able to get to a guy who has not started in 15 months, who wasn't like that great of a pitcher before. He's solid kind of a guy, but you gotta get a win today, and you gotta win tomorrow in the dig. And you cannot lose a series to the Rangers.
No, I mean, listen, the silver boot's on the line. And it's one thing to lose the ALCS when it's your God-given right to play in that every single year. But you can't lose the battle for the silver boot, and the Astros have to win the next 2 games to win the series. They can't afford another loss. If the Rangers win another game, they get the silver boot.
That's not good. We need small victories right now. That's a small victory.
They can have
the next victory.
They can have the World Series. They can have the ALCS. They cannot have the West, and they cannot have the Silver Boot.
Yeah. Do we drink out of? Can we drink out of the Silver Boot? Like, is it like the Stanley Cup?
Doesn't strike me as a hollow boot.
Yeah. I feel like I don't remember what the trophy looks like all of a sudden.
I bet it looks like a boot.
Yeah, but like, is it like a small boot, a big boot? You know, what are we doing here?
I'm assuming it's boot sized.
Fair. That's good. That's good analysis. Boot sized. Like I need them to win tonight. Last night, like it was like I'm like yeah we get a watch, but like just watching the offense struggle like that is just it's not enjoyable baseball. Baseball can be a boring sport for sure, but watching guys flounder up there with bases loaded like just extra sucks. It's not fun. But hopefully DiCenzo is the savior.
Zach DiCenzo.
He probably won't be in the starting lineup tonight, but you know.
Yeah.
I'm going to guess not. They didn't put Leon in the lineup for 2 days, but I don't know a lot about his splits or reverse splits.
Yeah, I'll say this about the splits and, you know, save it for the lead of the Killer Bees today. I'm sure they'll talk a little bit about the lineup. I'm sorry. That bores me as far as conversations go. But if you're going to make actual lineup changes, it's one thing to call these guys up. It's another thing to, you know, play them over the guys who are, you know, not hitting. I'm just a simple high school football legend at the lowest level of high school football in Florida, featuring a division that was largely white people, okay? With a Jewish man who led the county in rushing. I'm simple. Baseball scares me. It confuses me, and it's hard for me to understand. But I think that generally you should play guys who aren't the guys that are playing bad.
Yep. Bench the guys who suck.
Yeah, and like you want your bullpen to not blow leads, mm-hmm. and you want to score more runs.
Yes.
So,
and sometimes you would like to hit balls over the fence with guys on base. That's also a good thing.
Right, you are there, Joe. Okay? We're just giving you the analysis that the Killer Bees are scared to give you. Killer Bees still pushing for more starts for Jake Marisnik, who's not even on the team anymore. Incredible. Jake Myers, Chaz McCormick, Killer Bees, they're the reason those guys are still starting.
McCormick, Myers, it's their fault.
Now, I'd have to listen to actually corroborate that, but I, from what my sources tell me, which is my ass right now, I think they're big into keeping the outfield as is.
Mm-hmm. Just keep it. Don't change it. If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
It's not broke.
That's the motto of the show, actually. If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Yeah, that's why they kicked me out.
Damn. That took a turn.
They also didn't kick me out.
Right here.
There's Joel. Yeah. He's here.
There's no fear in anybody's hearts for whatever you have to say, Paul Gallant.
I don't even know what that means.
I don't either. I'm so confused.
Will he come back to clarify? Don't worry. No one wants to hear it anyway. 713-780-3776 to call. To text, you can join us on Twitter at Gallant Says at Joe George Radio on twitch.tv/ESPN975 and on YouTube at ESPN Houston. Up next, is Tytus Howard dead? Is Stephon Diggs alive? Because those guys got banged up today at Texas training camp practice in Ohio. DJ Bieniemy was there. He'll tell us. Stick around.
Listening to Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Time now to talk Texans with ESPN Texans reporter DJ Bieniemy.
Brought to you by Houston Powder Coaters and the DraftKings Sportsbook at Golden Nugget Lake Charles.
DJ is live from Ohio on the HRNP guest line. DJ, we are waiting with a bated breath to determine what the hell happened to Tytus Howard today. Here's what we have so far, courtesy of you on Twitter. First off, we saw that Tytus Howard went into the blue medical tent. Then we saw that he left practice in a cart. Then we saw that he looked fine leaving on the cart. So not sure what's going on. And most recently from Tytus Howard, he tweeted out, "Dang, I thought I walked off the field." So is this safe to say that we should not be freaking out about whatever may have happened to Tytus Howard today?
I don't think anybody should freak out, because I put that, you know, he was fine in the cart. Like,
but what does fine in the cart mean?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he looked like, in a sense of, like, he didn't look disheveled, like, he was just leaving practice early.
Gotcha.
You know, like, obviously there was some type of knick-knack, but he didn't walk off the field. Like, we watched him in that cart. He probably got in the car rolled somewhere and walked off the cart into the team bus. Sure, you can say that. Correct, but yeah, like, you know. But I it doesn't feel like it's anything crazy, you know.
Okay.
So, yeah, I wouldn't say for us to start panicking or anything of that nature. But if it is, then you can start to sound the alarm bell. Because honestly speaking, like, if this team is without Larry, again, now we're up to the 12th practice, no Larry. If Larry doesn't play, if Larry has missed time, Tyus missed time, the backup tackles are not it. But again, to be fair, the NFL, if there was a bunch of offensive tackles to go around like candy, we wouldn't have as bad of all-line players as we have across the league. There's some teams that don't even have two offensive tackles that can play both of them. So, yeah, so that's kind of, you know, so you want to be optimistic as long as you can, but at a certain point, you do want to see both of them on the field together.
So, of the other guys that are not practicing, Mixon, Harris, today Will Anderson, Okuda, are any of those injuries things we should be keeping an eye on, or are they all just kind of rest days, or where are we at with the other injuries?
Tunsil as well on that front.
Yeah, Tunsil, yeah.
Yeah, I would say in regards to Mixon and Harris, they're practicing since the first day, and I think they're both going through soft body, soft tissue injuries, which those can be lingering. And I, you know, I would always be concerned when a running back has a soft tissue injury very early in camp. Because, again, like, what makes you think it won't come back or it won't ring throughout the entire year? You know, this business is when you're supposed to be your freshest, you know? So the longer we go with no Mixon, the more concerned you should get. And not even concerned in the sense, like, he's not going to play. He won't be available. He'll be available eventually, but it's about how effective is he going to be. Like, the Texans did just extend him, give him a contract. Even they can't get out of that contract after year one. But still, you do want to see one of your key acquisitions play. Because, again, you know, obviously, Damian Pierce had a really good rookie season. But I don't know. It's starting to become more and more evident, like, this game just isn't fitting for him. Because he hasn't had that many. Like, he's had occasionally a couple of nice runs. But it doesn't feel the same like it did rookie year. It still doesn't. Now, is that because the defense is just way better now? Because the D-line is pretty ferocious against the run. So obviously, I still want to see. So I'll be able to analyze a little bit more as preseason goes. But again, like, Texans did add Joe Mixon for a reason, you know. They must have thought that they went after Barkley hard. So they must have thought that it wasn't too salvageable when it came to Pierce in the sense of, like, where you could really count him to be build on what he was as a rookie. Because if he did think that that was still in there, you don't bench him with the Devin Singletary, and you don't go and try to get, you know, Joe Mixon and Saquon Barkley, and you land, obviously, with Joe Mixon. And Christian Harris, you know, it's continued day-to-day, week-to-week, but his is soft tissue injury. So, and his game, and it's crazy, it's kind of scary with him too, right, because his game is so predicated on speed. So if he's like a step slower, you're getting an entirely different Christian Harris, right? Some linebackers, they're a little bit like, you know, mixed and blue, just to be fine because some of them are, their game is 100% cerebral anyway. Not saying Christian Harris' game doesn't have some cerebralness to it, but his game is predicated on athleticism. So as more time passes, I think fans can get more and more and more concerned.
DJ Bien-Aimé, Houston Texans beat reporter for ESPN with us on the HRNP guest line. DJ, yesterday we saw some conflicting reports online, a rumor about Justin Simmons, the Texans having interest in him. I saw that you posted that you talked to the Texans, that the Texans at the very least said to you that they like their safeties, and we also got that out of Texans defensive coordinator Matt Burke after practice today. Do you feel like they are not looking at all at defensive back options as we get closer and closer to the start of the year? Or even though obviously the organization has said, like, yeah, we're fine with our guys, do you think there's still a possibility of a move?
Yeah, I think just based off of what it looked like at camp, yeah, I just don't right now see a reason to even add a safety. Mm-hmm. Right? You know, you drafted one. You have Petrie in the slot. Eric Murray held it down. Jimmy Ward had a good camp. But just based on what we see in practices, it doesn't make sense to go and get a guy like Justin Simmons, right? Because, like, how much of an upgrade is he? Like, obviously, like, he's better than the trio, right? Like, that's established. But is he that much of an upgrade where it's worth, like, a couple of games in terms of win column? Like, is it going to really elevate the defense to a whole other level? I don't know. Right? Like, so it's like, is that even worth bringing him in, paying him the money that he might want, having him try to learn a new defense on the fly, which I think he'll be able to do with no issues. I just don't know. Like, I don't think, like, right now they don't need to. Because, again, like, Eric Murray and Jimmy have played real solid. They played well. Black Camp, Jalen Petrie and the nickel has been fine. Like, he's played well also. Like, that trio has played well. So I don't know. Like, I think that's more of a Madden move. Like, you just make this to make. And, like, it looks good on paper. But is it necessary? No, I don't think it's necessary, right? Like, I don't think, like, when I watch them, I would rather them use their money to get offensive tackle depth. I would rather them use their money on that to get offensive lineman depth. That's what I'd rather them use their money on. A safety, that's a luxury right now. That's what it is. A safety luxury. Offensive line depth is a necessity. Because people want to talk about February. People want to talk about New Orleans. People want to talk about they can challenge Kansas City. They ain't challenging Kansas City if the offensive line isn't 100% healthy. They're not challenging any of those teams. Because, like, you know, their backups, because let's say, again, if Laramie has to go down for some time, or Tyler has to go down for some time, or even Shaq, or a combination of those guys, your backups are, you know, Blake Fisher at left tackle, who's a rookie out of Notre Dame. And then you would have a right tackle, 64, I think his name's Nick. Like, again, like you don't want to go out there with, I mean, obviously, Charlie Heckers, obviously, you know, he's dealing with injuries, but he's solid. But, I mean, again, this team, for them to go where they want to go, they're going to need to spend the money. If they're going to spend on a free agent or people of that, let's get some help on the offensive line, because that's going to allow you to get the TJ the ball to the playmakers. It's going to allow you to make plays. It's going to allow you to be able to control the game with the run game, whether Damian Pierce or Joe Mixon, right? Whether Laramie's there or not. So you want to have some adequate guys that can step in and be able to hold it down. Because right now, like, the drop off between Laramie and, you know, like, the whole line it's been choppy the entire, you know, camp. So I think in terms of building a team, getting ready for the season, Justin Simmons doesn't address your biggest worry right now, which is offensive line depth, right? Right now we have a fingers crossed, and Laramie will be back. I think he'll be back by the time season starts. Same with Tyus, he's going to be healthy. But those guys go down. See, last year, you had Fant, who was a legitimate starting caliber offensive tackle. Like, when he was with the Jets in 2022, he played, 2021, he played at a Pro Bowl type of level, and that's what you were bringing in. Obviously, 2022, he was doing injuries, wasn't that good. But in 2023, he played at a very, very good level to where you can miss Laramie or miss Addison, be just fine. You don't have a George Fant. You don't have anybody like that. So I would rather them spend that money on offensive tackle or offensive guard than spend it on a safety. You know, like, this team's only going as far as the trenches take them. It's not a team that's built on the perimeter. They're a team that's built through the trenches, right? So if the offensive line is upright, the defensive line is upright, then the skill players can make plays. This is not a team that's built backwards.
DJ, it seems like yesterday was the first day where the offense had, you know, rave reviews from camp. How much have you seen, you know, between the offense? How much better does it look since last week when you talked with us and it wasn't? It was pretty bad.
It went back to the original. It went back to what it's been. Today was another rough day for them. The defense, you know, had their way. You know, Daniil practiced there, like, last week and yesterday. Daniil didn't practice. Daniil practiced today, and he saw the president immediately. Got a TFL. like the second team player of the day. But I don't know. I don't necessarily know. Like, I wouldn't say it was all him. I think they threw some different coverages at them, having different disguises. It was out of all the practices where they had good weather, it was easily their worst offensive performance, without question. And even like, yeah, like you had, you know, there was a drive where CJ drove in and they're able to get in the end zone. Technically, that was a game. That would have, you know, that drive would have ended in a pick six, because that same drive where CJ threw the tank and Stingley caught it and took it to, he would have said that one would have been to the crib, because the cornerback intercepts an out route or a hitch, it's usually to the house. And that was right before, you know, a couple of, you know, I think a team period before that, you know, Stingley had another interception while guarding Nico. And then Davis Mills threw it in pick six in an earlier team period to Bullock. Yeah. You know, so, and then like the last, like, you know, the first 2 minute drill to end the practice, the first team was fine. But the second team, Davis Mills looked like he was just bricking a lot of passes, you know, and I don't know how much of it was like he was just trying to keep the clock. Didn't have any timeouts. He was just trying to keep the offense on schedule, keep the clock paused at times. If he's not there, don't take a sack. So, you know, I'll give him some credit on that. But, yeah, today by every stretch was not a good day. They had some success running the ball, like second and third team, but first team not necessarily. And obviously, you know, there were two interceptions. So, yeah, today wasn't a good day. Like, I wouldn't even categorize it as an average day. I'll kind of as an average day, or below average each day. It was looking good at one point where it was that good back and forth. But then when you had the turnovers, you know, it's just tough to, because, again, one would have went for six. And if you're giving the other team points, I can't ignore that and be like, oh, it's all right, you know, so.
I'm intrigued by what I've seen, and I'm assuming the last couple of days, what you've seen from Derek Stingley. I feel like there's a new added swagger or confidence to him that we haven't seen in years past. And he's a quiet guy by nature, but I feel like ever since he figured out that he's really good the last couple of games of the year, that perhaps that confidence has bloomed into something else. And I base it off of just the way that he's looked at this training camp practice, where he's shoving Dalton Schultz, or he's getting deflected passes and interceptions, and he's going up to the crowd and hamming it up when the practices were here. Or today, the two things that I saw you report, where after the first interception on a pass intended for Nico Collins, a 50-50 ball, he threw the ball at the offensive sideline. I was curious about how he threw the ball at the offensive sideline. Was it a roll? Was it a spike? And then, of course, you mentioned the pick six that he would have had, where he caught it and he looked back. There's an aura about Derek Stingley right now that I'm very much enjoying, and it feels different than before.
Yeah, I think he's just playing bad now. Like, I think, you know, I've had people tell me, like, he just tries to get more angry, playing practicing a little bad, but, like, you know, jokingly, but, yeah, like, when he caught that interception on Wagner and Nico, mind you, like, he ripped it from, like, it was jump ball, grabbed it, ripped it away, got up and threw the ball toward the offensive sideline. And then, again, the pick six, caught it, looked back at Tank, and then jogged off. And that's just how he's been, like, it's for sure, you're right, Paul. It's a different aura.
Ah.
It's a different feeling in terms of, and I don't, because I think Stingley's always known that he's good. Like, he's known he's good since he was like, talk to his dad since he was like 5, 6, 7 years old, right? Because he told me, like, he knew he was different when he was, you know, practicing with like arena football guys and on his dad's team and was keeping up. That's when he was good. So he's always been confident. I think that the next step for him was kind of playing with more edge, right? And I think that, you know, he still doesn't say much. He's just playing more edge to take us to that next step. And I think maybe, you know, it's, you know, throughout the offseason or, you know, throughout last season, just being snubbed. Like, I think he'll get his recognition if people, if I guess he was more braggadocious, you know, but that's not his personality. But I think it's more like, I think in result, he's getting annoyed by that. Where it's like, man, I'm not getting the recognition that I deserve. I'm not, because I think Jonathan Alexander published a story about Derrick Stingley. I'm not entirely sure. I haven't read it. But if he hasn't, I hope he doesn't get mad at me. But what I'm going to say. But Derrick told Jonathan Alexander, see, I'm giving him his credit, though. He told him the reason why he went after Dalton Schultz because he felt disrespected, right? For whatever reason, whatever that means, whatever that looks like, but that's why he went after him. Again, if Jonathan Alexander posted that story, go read it. If he hasn't, well, I'm attributing to him.
Spoiler hype, man.
I was told to him, not to me.
He had that big scoop, and you just blew it. But you know what? That's what we do at the Four Letter Network. You know, we cuck everybody with their reports.
So, you know, so I think overall, he just played on more edge. And I think that is the difference between him being, like, a good player and being a great player. You know, because he has talent to be one of the best cornerbacks in the league, which he already is. But I think to get into that, because, like, when you watch Stingley, you can see, oh, this might be, like, a top five guy. To get into that next tier, you got to play with that edge. Because when we look at the majority of the guys in the top five, Patrick Surtain, you know, renowned. Patrick Surtain, Denzel Ward, Sauce Gardner, Jalen Ramsey. You could put maybe Trayvon Diggs. You could put, like, whoever else you want to put in there. You know what I'm saying? Like, the guys that are consistent in that discussion. They all play with an edge. They all play with a nasty edge, a nasty attitude. And I think he's learning that at this level, to be one of the best, you have to play with that extra edge. And we're starting to see it now.
Liking that, that's for sure. He is DJ Bien-Aimé. You can check out his work for ESPN.com or on his Twitter, where he's giving you all sorts of updates from Texans training camp in Ohio before preseason game number 2 against the Pittsburgh Steelers. DJ, always a pleasure. We'll see you when you get back.
Thank you for having me.
He is DJ Bien-Aimé. Coming up next, garbage time. We wrap up the show. It's Gallant and George. We're going into garbage time right now. Okay. I mean,
oh, I love trash.
Garbage time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
I can't read the text. So I was wondering, like, wait, why are we going to commercial break like we always would right after our interview with DJ? I read this text because we were having a show conversation. And Joe said, no, we're going to go straight into garbage time after this answer. And I thought I read it.
Paul gave
I gave him the thumbs up.
And Sean gave the thumbs up.
I can't read, okay?
That's all right.
Hey, you know what? It's okay.
It's okay.
It's training camp for us, too.
Training camp's for us. The Zenzo's here. So we're talking about minor leaguers. So, you know.
Far too much minor league talk for my life today.
Wait till Shea Whitcomb comes up tomorrow.
Ooh, what are his splits? The Bayou Bucket. R.I.P.
Really?
This is the last year. Houston and Rice's epic football match has been canceled for the 2026 and 2027 season. So this year, it's for all the marbles. The game has been played every year since 1971. Houston leads the series all time, 33-12.
That's kind of a bummer. I know there's not a lot of juice to this rivalry.
Kind of a bummer.
But
it's a lot of juice to the rivalry.
It's
the smart kids versus the Cougs.
Yeah, there's just no reason to cancel these games when you're moving divisions and conferences. They should find a way to make this stuff stick. But whatever.
Yeah, this seems like an easy. Ooh,
this is
an easy one to keep.
Yeah. This is an easy one to keep. What are we doing? And it seems like it's a mutual decision. So now am I going to have to start fights between Cougs and Owl fans?
Ooh.
I've done that before with it. I once got all Longhorn fans and Aggie fans in a room to gang up on me because I called them both the P word for not playing each other, as if it were their fault. They didn't like that. But I was right. I'll stand by what I said.
You were right.
Yeah.
They should have played each other.
Play.
Maybe this is about the Oiler knockoff uniforms. U of H got That'd penalized for it. Rice didn't.
They couldn't agree who yeah. would wear the uniforms
yeah.
that day.
It just goes back. It always goes back to the Oilers uniforms.
They should play each other. The last game determines who gets to wear them.
I think that's a great idea, actually, Paul.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I'll take Rice.
The Olympics.
Good pick.
Guys, they're under fire because of this commercial. I don't know how many people saw this, but Google is trying to advertise their AI services, and everyone thinks that this commercial is the worst thing ever, as A man encourages his daughter to use artificial intelligence to write a letter to USA track star Sydney McLaughlin Lavrone.
My little girl's always been a runner, just like me. I've always thought she was following in my footsteps.
Hey, go get her, baby.
But lately, she's been looking up to someone else. She might even be the world's number one Sydney fan. And like Sydney, she's focused on her technique.
Good job, baby. Accelerate out the curb. High knees, high knees. There you go.
She wants to show Sydney some love, and I'm pretty good with words, but this has to be just right.
Good job.
So, Gemini, help my daughter write a letter telling Sydney how inspiring she is. And be sure to mention that my daughter plans on breaking her world record one day. She says, sorry, not sorry.
First, the artificial intelligence came for doing homework assignments for us.
Yeah.
And I said nothing. Then, artificial intelligence came for doing my show prep for me. And again, I said nothing. Whenever I get anything wrong, it's artificial intelligence's fault.
Okay.
But then they came for the thank you notes. And there was no one left to stand with me. You can't have an effing computer write a thank you note.
No, you can't.
Also, like, a personal thing. Like, to be like, hey, my kid looks up to you. It's not like Sydney is going to not grade it. Or yeah. she's gonna grade it if it's not good.
You know what a valuable lesson would be? To have your daughter write the letter herself. To Sydney.
It'd probably also mean more to your daughter.
A lot more.
Also, yeah, like, Sydney won her race by like a second today.
Oh, that's really impressive.
Better than the men.
Yeah. It was the 200 hurdles, but okay. Still.
First of all, it should be handwritten letters if you're going to do this. Not typed out. Also, in what world does anyone think this is a good idea?
I don't know. To the point where Google pulled the commercial from the Olympics.
Crushed.
Everyone thought it was terrible. So I'm glad that we all can agree on some things. Maybe not everything.
Yeah.
But that was the absolute worst.
This is a good cancel. We should get canceled if you do something that sucks.
We should get more vocal about ads that just suck. Just like, this ad sucks. Take it off.
And we should all be in opposition to artificial intelligence.
Yeah.
All of us. It is going to murder all of us.
Yeah, watch that robot.
We have like 8 blockbuster movie franchises where this happens. Mm-hmm. The Matrix, Terminator. Did you not pay attention during a blockbuster movie?
I really did watch iRobot this weekend.
iRobot's good.
It's a good movie. It's been a long time since I've seen it.
Tom Brady's wife?
But Sonny just, you know, OG.
Not Tom Brady's wife. Tom Brady's OG baby mama. Anyway, guys, that's going to wrap up today's Galana George. Big thanks to DJ Bien-Aimé, our texters, our Twitchers, our YouTubers. Joe's not so sure about the Twitchers. That was Joe, not me. For Sean, for Joe, I'm really Paul Gallant. It was on camera. Have yourselves a wonderful Tuesday. The Killer Bees are up next. Peace!
ESPN 97.5.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I got to say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton.
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 weeks in August is finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.